Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
74 years ago, my mother taught me this prayer. It was, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." How many remember that? Do you know that's going on 100 years ago almost? You know that? Well, we were studying in the book of Revelation. We were talking about the tribulation. And we realized that believers will not go through the tribulation. We'll be lifted out before that time. So I asked the question, if you had a choice about how you would like to die, because we're all going to do that, what would you say? And Dave said he would like to die of old age. And I said, well, I don't want to die at all. I want to be lifted out in the rapture. But most people said they would like to die peacefully in their sleep. Well, I had a friend of mine who prayed that and was really comforted by that. But every time he went to bed, he was afraid he was going to die. My brother Barry tried out for a Little League baseball team. And he was about 10 years old. And my mother said, what happened? He said, well, everyone made the team except one person. And she said, oh, that poor child. And Barry said, Mom, I'm the one that wasn't chosen. Last year's coach, the one who didn't choose him, had noticed that Barry had written on his baseball mitt, "Christ died for my sins." So the coach felt that he didn't want a person who could pray. He wanted a person who could play. Now, let me say this to you. Barry played the next year and was chosen. And he was chosen by a new team. He led the team in batting average, in home runs, in RBIs. He played every position and was the team's best pitcher. He was the team's most valuable player and was selected to play in the city all-star team. Let's pray. Father, it's wonderful to know who you are and that we too are chosen. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, anoint this message, gladden us with a hope that's not only certain, but the certainty of that hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Did you know as a Christian, you're chosen? You're chosen. Those of you who've been married have been chosen as a bride or a groom by your husband or wife. It's great to be chosen. But of all the choices your partner could have made, that person chose you. And that makes you special. And don't forget that. You're chosen. It also says you're a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, the tribe set aside for the priesthood was the Levites. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.'" Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, he has chosen, and he's going to keep his covenant of love for 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." You see, the nation of Israel was chosen by God to be a special nation. They were set aside for a royal priesthood. Now, this was written to Christian Jews. Now, because they received Christ, they became a part of the church. And because this promise was made in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel as Jews, Because many Jews received Christ and became part of the church, we were grafted into that promise. That promise became our promise. The church is also part of a holy nation. We are God's special, special possession. The Israelite distinctions are now enjoyed by all who believe in Jesus. How many of you know who Meghan Markle is? She married Prince Harry. Because she married Prince Harry, she's now a member of the royal family. He married her not for any of her previous accomplishments. She was an actress. She was of mixed race. He married her for one reason only, because he loved her. Now, Prince Harry had this scheme. It wasn't because she was beautiful. He dated beautiful women all over the world. But he had this plan with his chauffeur. And he said to the chauffeur, after 35 or 40 minutes, I want you to come in and say, if it's not going well, I want you to say, sorry, Your Highness, but you have immediate and important appointment has come up unexpectedly. So he sat down, and this lady said to him, you're late. That's not very nice. Who do you think you're dealing with? I've been sitting here for 30 minutes, you made the appointment, and you come in here late. What kind of a man are you? You can't treat people like that, and you don't treat me like that. She said, so come on now, if you're a gentleman at all. He said, you never do that to a lady. And the man came in and said, excuse me, he said, sir, but he said, never mind, go away. You see, she treated him as he should have been treated, as a human being, as a member of humanity. And he married her because, and she understood him, and he loved her. Now let me tell you something. Jesus chose us as his bride, not because we were so beautiful, not because we were so talented, not because we had all of the attributes that he was looking for. He chose us because he loved us. Do you understand? He loved us. And when that woman married Prince Harry, you know what happened? She became heir to all of his fortune. And when we received Christ and were called his bride, we became heirs of all his treasures and his fortune. My goodness, we are the bride of Christ. Now that's exciting, and that's wonderful, and that's amazing. So I don't want you to ever forget that. Being chosen is special. The transforming power of a relationship with Jesus is the thesis of every Christian testimony. The popular writer Frederica Matthews Green describes her own transformation and her encounter with Jesus in her book, At the Corner of East and Now. She was on her honeymoon in Europe, and at that time considered herself a Hindu. Then she came upon a marble statue of Christ in one of the niches on the sidewall of a church, and this is what happened. I was standing there looking at the statue, and then I discovered I was on my knees. I could hear an interior voice speaking to me, not with my ears. It was more like a radio inside suddenly clicked on. The voice was both intimate and authoritative, and it filled me. It said, I am your life. You think that your life is your name, your personality, your history, but that is not your life. I am your life. I stood up feeling pretty shaky. It was like sitting quietly in your living room and having the roof blown off. If someone had asked me a half hour earlier if I would have said I was not sure that Jesus even lived, yet here he was. And though I didn't know him, it seemed he already knew me from the deepest inside out. You see, she was chosen. That's so important to understand. And the Bible also says, you are a royal priesthood. You're chosen. You're wonderful. You're necessary. And you're his. One of the most moving things that I ever read was took place with a young boy who had cerebral palsy. Now, what happened was he asked his professor if he would pray. He thought he wasn't anything special. The professor said he was a college student who had cerebral palsy, but he was able to walk, but with great difficulty, as his legs and arms would fly in all directions. Out of control of the motor impulses, which normally make walking simple, his speech was slurred, slow, and agonizing, demanding great concentration on the part of the listener to understand. There was nothing wrong with his mind, however, and his sparkling personality and spontaneous smile were an inspiration to his classmates and to all who encountered him. One day he came to me vexed by a problem and asked me to pray for him. In the course of the prayer, I said something routine with words like, oh God, please help this man as he wrestles with his problem. When I opened my eyes, the student was quietly weeping. I asked him what was wrong, and he stammered by simply replying, you called me a man. No one has ever called me a man before. God has called you chosen, a royal priesthood. He's chosen you and called you his bride. It's incredible how valuable you are in the eyes of the Lord. It's incredible how special you are in his plans for eternity. It's marvelous how important you are to him and to one another. I knew a woman named Julia. Her name was Julia Lake Kelsenberger, the saintly but enthusiastic widow of a famous Presbyterian missionary doctor. She sensed my predicament as I stood brooding over my tea, and she broke into a bubbly conversation. She began telling of her work in Africa with the lepers whose voices had been burned out by the horrible disease. They would come to church, hold their hymn books with their stubs, their hands having been eaten away by leprosy, and turn the pages with their chins. Opening their mouths, they would sing praises to God, but since their vocal cords were gone, they would have to sing through silent lips. I felt my face burning as she finished her story. Here was I, perfectly capable of singing praises to God, trying to wiggle out of it because I was too sophisticated. At the close of the meeting, I stood in the appointed place and sang, but I had to ask the ladies to bow their heads. I didn't want people to see the tears on my face. I gave tone to the words as they sang, "How Great Thou Art." Part of the purpose of God choosing you as his bride is so that you would begin to sing his praises. Now, it's not easy to sing God's praises if you don't mean it. It's not easy to be filled with the joy of the Lord if you're not. But you have to understand, part of the provision of God is one of the things he gives us as a gift is a gift of thankfulness. Praise. Do you understand what the word means? Praise has within it the word raise. We face impossible situations. We're not hypocritical. We don't want to pretend we're something we're not. But let me tell you something. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I must tell you, yesterday, my dear wife was kind enough to drive me to a hospital visit. And I thought to myself, I'm one of these guys that, okay, I've said it, I'm done, bye. And I thought, well, we'll go in and have a quick little prayer. And I didn't mean quick. I mean, I really wanted to go, and I really cared. But Mickey, she says, here, I'll pick you up and drive you there because, quite frankly, I can't find my way out of a phone booth. And so she kindly takes me there. We go up, and she says, well, it'll be just a few minutes. And I was there for a few minutes, and I like to check the charts, what's going on, what's the readings on her health, what are they doing for her, what do the things say on the walls. I'm reading all this. And then after a few minutes, I said, well, look, we're going to trust the Lord that he'll touch you and raise you up. So I did, and I'm ready to go, and then Mickey's still talking. And she's still talking. And she's still talking. And she's still talking. And she's still talking. The cafeteria is closing. And I thought, Myron, you curmudgeon. You grumbly, 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 grumbly old man. You're always flit, 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 flit. Flies flit, butterflies float. And there was Mickey. She really took the time to listen to this lady. She took the time. She even brought her a flower and a balloon. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you know what? God knew what he was doing. He says, Gaul needs a lot of help. Hey, we can't turn this guy loose on the world. It just won't work. He's too... And I kept thinking to myself, you know what? That was wonderful. She took time to listen to this woman. To listen to what her heart said, not just what the doctor said. Listen, you're a chosen person. You're a holy nation. You're not alone. God has not singled you out to be alone. He singled you to be associated by people who are part of a nation, part of a promise, part of an inheritance, part of a mighty horde of conquerors. Hey, let me say this to you. Not by might, nor by my power, saith the Lord, but by my spirit. How many times have I seen people try to honor the Lord in their lives by using their own natural abilities? Do you know what? Promise after promise after promise is broken. And old patterns and old patterns and old patterns come back because we rely more on ourselves and our own wisdom than God's wisdom. And God doesn't always make sense to me. If you think I understand grace, you know, I have a prayer I say all the time. God, my sins are too numerous to count and too awful to remember. And I fully believe that God writes our lives and our sins in this world in chalk. I've said that before. You see, he filled our old record and covered it by signing it and writing it in blood. So our sins are forgiven as a Christian, past, present, and future. Do you know that? Well, that doesn't mean you got to get out of jail free card. That means the decisions you make in this life are written in chalk. And if you don't erase them by confession, then they're up there in this life for you to pay the consequences of. Did you know that? Your choices are part of God's gift by giving you the freedom of choice. You can be all you choose to be. You can admit that you need help, and thus believers need to be filled with the Spirit. Do you understand that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised how many believers get the idea this is some charismatic movement where people who are crazy jump off cliffs and think they can fly, people who let snakes bite them. No. Jesus said, be filled with the Spirit. And in the proper translation, it's be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. You ever drive a car? It's filled with gasoline. Look at the power. But it's not just filled once. You've got to continually, day by day, trust the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't a liquid. He's not a liquid. He's a person. And by filled, it means, are you under the control of the Holy Spirit? Are you? Are you? If you are, there is no doubt. If there's doubt in your life about anything, don't do it. If you have doubt, throw it out. Okay? Because when it's the will of God, there is no doubt. Oh, you can question before the fact. You can ask till you want. But here's the point. We have a harder time forgiving ourselves than God ever did. And the biggest problem you face is yourself. Are you trusting your own decision-making? God doesn't make sense all the time. If he made sense to us all the time, we'd be equal to him. Listen, do you think your children think you make sense all the time? Some of your children think you're nuttier than a fruitcake. What do you mean, do this? You see, you have a bigger picture. You have a plan for their lives that's bigger than they have for themselves. You have dreams for them that they never dreamed could be dreamt. You have opportunities to uplift them in prayer, and you garrison them with your life and heart and prayers and commitment. And sometimes they don't even realize it. Then let me tell you something. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now that's important, because as you get older, the spirit of fear takes over. Let me share how that took over in my life. Well, you know, I can't see as well as I used to, and I don't like driving at night because I might kill somebody or they might kill me. I'm not sure the icy weather. I'm not sure if I can handle this. What about my kids? As I got older, it became more and more and more and more common. Then I married Miss Steadfast. She drives just wonderful driver. I used to pray all the time. Now I just relax and say, thank God I know there's somebody looking after her. Hey, let me say something. You're not alone. If you say, yeah, but I am alone. I would like somebody to share my life with. Well, hey, until you share your life with Jesus, you won't be satisfied anyway. See, the empty places can only be filled by God, because that's why he has the empty places. So you can choose, so you can decide, and so you can be whatever you choose to be. And so you are what you are right now. You are exactly as you've chosen to be. Now, what about choosing to be what he has in mind for us to be? You know what God has in mind for me? Well, I know it's a mansion. I know it's a forgiveness of sins. But I'm going to tell you, 6'5", it's coming. I know this. I couldn't imagine a world without chocolate. But I'll tell you what, in heaven, there's something much better than that. And no matter what your dreams might be and what your expectations might be, the bar is far too low compared to what God has done to provide for you. And so, what did he do? He designed all creation, including angels, to do one thing: take care of my bride. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to prepare you as a bride so that when he comes, you'll be ready. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that even from the lips and the non-lips of lepers who can only hum, we pray, Lord, that we might be hummingbirds and not crows. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.